Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to share with you some scriptural insight on how to have victory over temptation. Do you understand that temptation comes to the life of every single person, believer or non-believer? Temptation comes to every single person on the earth. The scriptures give us insight into how temptation is brought to a person's life and where the actual source of temptation comes from. We see in Matthew chapter 4 these words, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" The first point I want to pay attention to from this scripture is that Matthew 4:3 clearly points out the source of the temptation that Jesus faced. In verse 3, it gives Satan this specific title, the tempter. Now, when the tempter came to him, that's referring to Satan or the devil. As we see from the previous verses, and if you read on in that chapter, it goes on to say that the devil took him up to the high place and pointed this out and tempted him in this way. So we see that this title, the tempter, is clearly given to Satan, and it refers to the devil or Satan as the source of temptation. And if the devil would come to Jesus and bring temptation, he's not going to overlook you, and he's not going to overlook other people in the world. Temptation is clearly brought, we see here in the scripture, from the satanic realm or from the demonic realm. The source of temptation is the tempter, Satan. The writer of the epistle to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 specifically, also gives the same title to Satan. And the writer, which we believe to be Paul the Apostle, said this to the Thessalonians in verse 5, "For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain." Again, we see Satan given this title, the tempter. And I bring those two scriptures to your attention to simply say you need to recognize the source of temptation. Many Christians fall into the trap, and it's a trap of the enemy of your soul. But this trap of condemnation, feeling that they are in some way wicked or evil, and almost under that veil of shame and condemnation because temptation has come to them over and over again. You must recognize and understand that once you are born again, once you have been given new life in Christ Jesus, once you are that new creation, the old is gone and the new has come, your spirit man has been regenerated, reborn. And in that new spirit is the righteousness of Christ. You are clean in the sight of God. You're in right standing with God. Now, if you who are born again and in right standing with God can be brought to a place where temptation can be brought to your doorstep and Satan can say things to you as he did to Jesus, it says, when the tempter came to him, he said. So he brought temptation by means of a suggestion to Jesus. And Satan works the same way against you. Now, if Jesus, who was sinless, without sin, could be brought temptation after temptation, and we see three examples of temptation in the passage in Matthew 4, if Jesus could have that experience, you have to understand that temptation will also be brought to your doorstep as a believer, as a Christian. And it does not mean that you are evil. It didn't mean that Jesus was evil. It means that the tempter is trying to tempt you. But many Christians fall into the trap of feeling condemned simply because temptation has come to their door. Understand this, my friend, that temptation is not sin. Giving in to temptation, agreeing with the temptation, pursuing what the temptation is suggesting to your life, that becomes sin to you. But the fact that temptation came to your doorstep, came to your mind, was presented to you as an opportunity to fall away, that in and of itself is not a sin. And yet many Christians become condemned because they feel like, I wouldn't even have these kind of thoughts if I was a true believer. My friend, the thoughts that are brought to your mind to sin in a certain area, to give in to lust, to give in to selfishness, to give in to gossip, to give in to greed, to give in to stealing or any other sin, the temptation is not sin to you. Only the agreeing with it or following its directions or directives becomes sin to you. Don't be misled by the enemy who not only brings the temptation, then he will try to beat you with it and say, you aren't even a Christian if you have such thoughts. Those thoughts aren't originating from you. The tempter brings the enticement. He brings the solicitation to do evil or to sin, or the provocation to do evil. Your responsibility before the Lord is to cry out to God, because the scripture is clear that God is able, or the scripture actually says in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So that is our responsibility, to cry out to the Lord to deliver us when we're presented with a temptation. Let me give you a few steps to avoid temptation. And as a believer, you need to be on guard and understand that temptation will definitely come your way. It comes to every person. You're presented with opportunities every single day to fall away through giving in to temptation. But God wants you to live a victorious life. He's given us everything we need, the scripture tells us, for life and godliness. That means He's given everything we need to live a godly life, to have victory in your life. And many people are in great sorrow over their own lives because of having given in to sin, and they know that it's wrong, and they don't want to do evil, and they are Christians, but they have such sorrow because they have given in over and over to temptation that has come their way. Today, take the time to write down these scriptural steps on how to avoid temptation. The very, very first thing that is vital for your victory is that you must be a person who is committed to vigilantly guarding your thought life. All sin starts as a suggestion to your mind. We saw this in Matthew 4 with Jesus. The tempter came to him and he said, the tempter will come to you and he will say, why don't you just cheat a little bit here on your income tax? Why don't you just take that? Your employer hasn't been fair with you anyway. And he will tempt you with suggestion to give into sin and make it sound like it's not a big deal. The first key to your success is that you have to be a person thoroughly and absolutely committed to guarding your thought life, since all sin starts out as a suggestion to your mind. And you guard that thought life being one who recognizes what is from the enemy, what is an enticement that's lured or designed to lure you into wrongdoing. In James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, we see this explanation of how temptation works on the carnal side of man. It says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. And again, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Satan presents you with the enticement. He presents the enticement that's designed to lure you into doing wrong or sinning against the Lord. But each person's tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. So in the carnal side of man, in our flesh, there's the desire to get something for nothing. Satan will come to you and say, here, why don't you just take that? Enticing you to steal, to get something for nothing. And that carnal side of man, if it can be drawn away, if your spirit man doesn't rise up and say, no, that totally violates the word of God and the heart of God, then your carnal man and its desires will be drawn away when Satan presents the enticement. But you have to be wise, vigilantly guarding your thought life, recognizing what is the wisdom of God and what is an enticement from the enemy. Also, allowing yourself to have input through the media that's unclean, any unclean input into your life, such as TV and videos and movies and reading material, or even conversations that would plant seed in your thought life that would tempt you to sin. These are the types of things that if you're going to vigilantly guard your thought life, you're going to have to avoid. Otherwise, as you continue to take in this type of input into your mind, then Satan will have an easier time with you. He'll simply repeat to you with the suggestion something perhaps you saw on television. Oh, that's not so bad. Why don't you just do that? Oh, flirting's not so bad. Flirting with your coworker at work, it's harmless because you have taken input in from secular media that always portrays sin as harmless. And it portrays sin as fun. And it portrays sin as something to be enjoyed rather than something to be avoided, as the scriptures clearly warns us. So vigilantly guarding your thought life will be your first key to victory over temptation. You have to make a strategic plan to resist Satan's schemes. That is clear because the scripture tells us in James chapter 4 verse 7 that Satan will flee from the person who is, first of all, submitted to God. It says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. And then the second part of that verse says, resist the devil and he will flee. So the person who is submitted to God in their thought life, absolutely committed not to allow uncleanness, things that are opposed to the word of God, enter into their thought life, that person with that submitted thought life is much easier able to resist the enemy because, first of all, that person will recognize Satan's attempts to snare him. And secondly, he will know that he must resist the enemy in that specific area. So have a submitted thought life to God, and then you can resist the devil. You can say, no, Satan, as Jesus did, get thee behind me, Satan. And you can resist the devil with results. If you're unsubmitted to God in your thought life and you try to resist the devil, you'll get bombarded by him because he knows you're not submitted. He knows you're watching unclean videos. He knows you're watching unclean, sensuous movies and the like. And therefore, he can press you and press you and press you in the area of your thought life with unclean thoughts because you've given place to the devil through that open door of an unsubmitted and unholy thought life. That's number one key to avoiding temptation. The second thing that you need to be aware of is that you need to respond to all suggestions to sin in the exact same way that Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness, by speaking the word of God, as we see demonstrated in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus responded to all three of the temptations outlined in Matthew 4 by quoting scripture to the enemy of his soul. Satan's the enemy of your soul as much as he was the enemy of Jesus. And Jesus dealt with him by speaking out the word of God. This is a key for us as well. respond to every suggestion to sin the same way Jesus did. But you're going to have to search out the Word of God and find the scriptures that will be appropriate for the suggestions or the satanic allurement or the very enticement Satan's been using against you. For example, suppose that Satan's been coming against you, trying to tempt you with thoughts of lust or adultery. Then my suggestion to you using this biblical model is that you say out loud to the tempter himself, "Satan, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I will not bow to your sinful suggestions because the Word of God says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge." So you come at Satan with the Word of God when he comes at you with some suggestion or enticement that's designed to lure you into wrongdoing. Walk like Jesus walked. He showed us the pattern on how to have victory over temptation. The third and vital component of this strategy to have victory over temptation is that you have to make a deliberate decision to memorize Scripture. Seek out those verses that deal with the areas of temptation with which you are most often confronted. Psalm 119:11 gives us this principle, this fantastic and great spiritual principle. It says, "Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." That is the principle. God's word hidden in your heart will give you strength to not sin against God. It'll give you the tool that you need at the moment of temptation to respond to the enemy of your soul with, "It is written." And you will speak out the very word that God has led you to memorize to be your weapon of warfare against the enemy. We see in Ephesians where the description of the weapons of our warfare, we find that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And that's the weapon you need to use to combat the enticement of the enemy in the area of temptation. The next principle or key step to avoiding temptation for your life is this. You must set God-ordained boundaries for yourself. Avoid situations that will entice you to sin. You know what they are. You know the places that you need to avoid. You know the people that you need to avoid. Sometimes you must remove yourself from certain relationships with people who encourage you to participate in activities that you know are contrary to the Word of God. You literally may have to avoid former places you frequented when you were in the world, as they have a drawing power to induce you to fall back into the old destructive and sinful patterns. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 gives us this principle. It says, "Abstain from every form of evil." Other translation says, "Avoid the appearance of evil." You want to avoid places where there's even the appearance of evil. Relationships where there's even the appearance of evil. So make that decision that you're going to set God-ordained boundaries for yourself. You cannot simply bebop through life expecting you'll just be able to deal with everything. You have to look at the Word of God and take the wisdom of God and set God-ordained boundaries and say, "I'm not going to go anywhere near that type of a movie theater, that type of a place, because I have fallen into sin repeatedly. Anytime I got near there, anytime I went there, anytime I went with these people who are always pursuing sinful activities, I'm going to have to draw that boundary for myself because I'm determined to be a woman of God. I'm determined to be a man of God. I'm determined to be a person who has victory in my own life over temptation and that lives a godly and victorious life in Christ." And again, all of this is got to be done in the power of the Spirit, not in your own strength, not in your own flesh, but truly with the grace of God operating in your life. But we must cooperate with the grace of God. We must cooperate with the Word of God. And the last key that I will give you to avoiding temptation, the key to avoiding falling into temptation, Jesus gave to his disciples in Mark chapter 14, verses 37 and 38. And we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane under tremendous pressure and temptation to bail on the purpose of God, to leave the pressure he's about to go through with the great crucifixion that was coming to him in just a matter of hours. And under this tremendous place of agony that Jesus was, he had told his disciples to watch and pray. He got up and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, to Simon, could you not watch even 1 hour? And he goes on to tell him in Mark 14, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus gave him this warning, this admonition. You must watch and pray. You have to watch out for the devil. You have to watch out for his enticements. You have to be on guard against the things he'd try to use against you. And you have to pray lest you fall into temptation. We pray because we know God is able to help us. Again, 2 Peter 2:9 tells us the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So you need to pray. You need to cry out to God. God, I'm constantly being tempted in this one area. I'm crying out to you. You know how to deliver me out of this temptation. So pray as Jesus instructed his disciples to, lest they fall into temptation. Prayer is a key component to having victory, because prayer brings us to the place where we're dependent upon God and not our own selves or our own righteousness or our own strength or our own ability to resist the enemy or temptation. It is not in us to be able to have victory over temptation, but it is in the Spirit of God inside of our spirit to have victory over every temptation. Hebrews 4 encourages us the same way, that we, if we cry out to God for grace to help in the time of our need, we will receive it. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you're facing temptation, you are in a time of great need. Come boldly. Say, God, help me. Come boldly. Don't say, oh, I'm not even worthy to ask you for help. I shouldn't even be tempted this way. No, the enemy of your soul, the tempter, is after you. God tells you, come boldly to my throne of grace and get mercy and find grace to help in the time of your need. And then lastly, when temptation comes, we see in Genesis 39, the story of Joseph. He did what we need to do in every situation like this. He fled the place of temptation. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee sexual immorality. Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife, literally ran. There will be times in your life you're going to have to literally run from temptation. But remember, God is your helper. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Cry out to him and he will help you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that he makes a way of escape. It says, there has no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation, he'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You're facing temptation today, God will make a way of escape so that you can bear it, so you don't have to fall into it, so that you don't have to fall away because of temptation. God wants you victorious, but we need to rely on him and not ourselves. Be a person dedicated, determined to have victory in Christ Jesus over the temptations the tempter may bring your way. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland wanting to encourage you. God will make a way for you to escape temptation, but you must cry out to him, lean on him, come boldly to his throne of grace, and you will find that grace that you need in your time of need. God loves you. He wants you victorious. And I want to encourage you, be a person determined to have victory over temptation in your life.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.